have much money. Many of us are like Joe Louis, the boxer, who once said, "I don't really like money, but it calms my nerves." When you picture a spiritual person, a classic spiritual person, do you picture a sannyasin from India, a renunciate, a monk, a nun, a priest, people who've renounced worldly possessions for the things of spirit? We have a tremendous dichotomy in our minds about money and spirituality. I'm not the only one to say this, but I'd like to say it clear so it really strikes home. We've been programmed, all of us, in growing up. Now, by definition, when you've been programmed, you don't know you've been programmed. If you know you've been programmed, you're no longer programmed. But look at the films, popular films. They're meant for mass audiences. They're not aimed at a wealthy elite. They're aimed at mass audiences. So they deify the salt of the earth, people who are struggling, poor, but spiritual and good. How about a movie we probably, most of us have seen, It's a Wonderful Life. Many people around Christmas see that. Do you remember the evil, unethical, greedy Mr. Potter who owned half the town and wanted to own all of it, all the banks? The rich guy, the bad rich guy. Then we have George Bailey and his family. They're poor, but they're happy and spiritual. How about Christmas Carol? We have Scrooge on the one hand, and we have the Cratchits. They're happy and spiritual and loving, but poor. The Karate Kid, a more popular recent movie. He lived with his mother across the tracks, a single mother. They were struggling. Then there were these rich brats with their fancy red motorcycles and cars. Do you remember that? No wonder we grow up with some mixed feelings. The things of the world, the flesh, and then the spirit. It's about integrating those two. Let me tell you the story of my life. And I had serious money issues. And I didn't even know it. About 16 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, I was walking out of my house and I noticed across the street some very wealthy young teenage girls, maybe they were 18 or 19, getting into a Mercedes sports car. It's about a $70,000 car. And I looked at them for a minute, just kind of stared at them, you know, and then I turned around. There was like a dark cloud that passed over me, kind of a negative feeling. And if I could have given words to that feeling, it would have been something like, "Look at those little rich girls." I might have just kind of felt that way and then turned away and until new impressions entered my psyche. But in a moment of self-reflection, it was like a slap that hit me. I went, "Wait a minute, what did I just feel about them? I don't know them. They might be wonderful young ladies. My daughters were growing toward teenagehood. They dress well. Just because they appeared to have a lot of money, I felt negatively about them." And I went, "Whoa. If that's how I feel about money, I'm sure not going to attract much of it." And as a matter of fact, during this period of time, I was mastering my poverty consciousness phase of life. At that time, I was working two jobs, getting up at 4 a.m. to do overload typing in a local law firm. I let myself in. And then I went to a real estate office from 8 o'clock until 5, doing word processing. This was after I'd written Way of the Peaceful Warrior. It went out of print for a time. That's another story. It was after I'd been a professor at Oberlin College, a college professor. But this phase, I was just broke. We were $15,000 in debt, which was a lot of money for us. I had no way of seeing my way, how we were going to ever get out of debt. And we didn't live high off the hog either. This money was scarce. I was struggling. And that was a turning point when I saw my attitudes toward money. I was really unsympathetic toward the stuff. That was a turning point. I began, literally, and a few other things happened during that period. I stepped forward, started teaching seminars, sharing what I had to share. I remember the first time I came back from a seminar, and I had a handful of cash. And I said to Joy, "Close your eyes," and she opened her eyes, and I threw the money in the air, let it shower down around her. Now, again, if you feel like, "Oh, that's kind of ostentatious, you know, is that love of money?" Then look at that in yourself. Attitude, stored money. It's just stuff. Green stuff. Trade. Somebody once said, "We should go back to barter." I said, "Yeah, we could all be bartering. But didn't we start with that?" And then somebody wanted to barter a chicken for some pottery. And they said, "Well, what's worth what?" And they developed money to find a sense of value. And it was an easier way to barter. Point is, money is just energy. Just energy. It makes you more of who you already are. That's what more energy does. If you're loving, it'll make you more loving. If you're greedy, it'll tend to make you more greedy. It makes you more of who you already are. Anybody who listens to this tape program and has a lot of money and feels guilty about it, if money is just energy, would you wake up in the morning and say, "Oh, I feel so guilty. I have more energy than my neighbor"? I don't think so. Money doesn't care who has it. It's just stuff. But by using your talents and your creativity and your labors to provide a service for other people, you end up producing more income for yourself. And if there's abundance there, you can share it with other people, whatever you choose to do with it. I've negotiated many contracts, and I've noticed it always comes down to the bottom line. You can negotiate screen credit or this or that, but it comes down to what's the royalties, what's the payment, bottom line. And often we set a different value for ourselves. This is when self-worth issues come in. Do you, for example, when someone says, if you work for yourself, and someone says, "How much does your service cost?" I know some body workers, musicians, you know, "How much does your service cost?" They have to, this is the moment. What am I worth? What am I worth? So money is tied up with self-worth. How much do you deserve? So think about your money issues. I've had many. I once saw a program on Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. I was channel surfing, and I came across Robin Leach, and he was talking to Barbara Streisand, very talented, hardworking performer. And she was showing her house, and it was a gorgeous, gorgeous house. Some might even consider it ostentatious.